Paul Jones arrived in a Chevy pickup, billowing dust clouds in his wake as he crossed the desolate desert. The khaki-clad engineer had set out from his base soon after first light to observe a massive construction project aimed at transforming the long-neglected valley along Afghanistan's Helmand River into a modern society. Irrigation canals would feed new farms that would produce so much food that the country would export the surplus for profit. New towns with Western-style schools, hospitals, and recreation centers would rise from the sand. So too would factories, fed by electricity from a generator at a dam upriver. Jones had witnessed a similar metamorphosis near his house on the outskirts of Sacramento, and he was certain it could be duplicated on the moonscape of southern Afghanistan. Jones was 63, but appeared as hale and trim as a man 2 decades younger, save for his graying hair, which he covered with a hat or helmet while outside. One of his sons, an Army aviator, had been killed in the war a few years earlier. His wife, who remained at the family home, could not fathom why he wanted to embrace a hardscrabble existence halfway around the world. He had been indecisive, despite his employer's urging, until he heard a preacher on an AM radio station out of Modesto. Go into a far country, a strange land, inhabited by a different people. Let God within you point the way. So he let himself be lured by the prospect of adventure and altruism. His country and his employer, the construction firm Morrison Knudsen, were doing something grand and noble. He wanted to be a part of it. The year was 1951. Before he departed the United States, his boss told him that the company's first residential project, encompassing 16,000 acres, must be completed at once. The Afghan government had promised new settlers who had begun traveling west and south to Helmand on meandering camel trains that they would be able to farm irrigated fields within 60 days, but surveyors had not yet finished apportioning the plots, and construction crews had not even begun to dig the canals. To oversee the work, Jones had to leave his comfortable base, which had whitewashed barracks, a weekly movie night, and food that he reckoned could compete with the best restaurants in San Francisco, whipped up by Afghans who had been trained by Americans in Kabul. One recent menu had featured steak, fried potatoes, fresh chard, and canned pineapple. There were even cans of Pabst Blue Ribbon beer to slug back at the end of the day. Almost everything at the base had been sent by sea from California or Oregon and then trucked for 600 miles from Karachi. Plans drafted by his fellow engineers specify that the first settlement be divided into 4 villages spaced exactly 4 miles apart. Each would have 120 identical, single-story, multifamily dwellings in long rows. Every family would receive an apartment, 4 to a building, and a half acre of land nearby on which to plant a personal garden. The families would also get at least 10 acres of farmland outside the village on which they were to raise crops for sale: alfalfa, clover, cotton, grapes, fruit trees, and wheat were to cover a 2,000-acre experimental farm that would verify which crops were the best for the new residents. On that cloudless but chilly February morning, Jones toured Village Number 1 with John Muhammad, the director of building construction for the Helmand Valley Agricultural Commission. Jones recorded his recollections of the conversation and his guide's accent. "What else will be on this project?" he asked John. "We will have a central city. Here will be a big hotel, big mosque, big business. In each village we will have school through 8th grade, compulsory education for both boys and girls, as you say in America. And you will have high schools?" "Oh, yes, high schools. Here will be a university." Jones wanted to know what crops the people would grow. "Oh, many things. Wheat, cotton, corn, sugar beets, alfalfa, clover, fruit. We will have sugar mill and fabric factory." "What about electricity?" "We want that very soon," John said. "We will have hospitals. We will have sports area in each village." "How long will it take to get going on these things, John?" "Maybe 10 to 15 years. That will be marvelous." As Jones watched Afghan laborers toiling under American supervision, he came to share John's enthusiasm. A modern Afghanistan would soon rise from centuries of conflict and neglect. He was certain he was witnessing the beginning of a new civilization.